Live from the historic parsonage of 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It's Iron Sharpens Iron, a radio platform on which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs 27, verse 17 tells us, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Matthew Henry said that in this passage, quote, "We are cautioned to take heed whom we converse with, and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better." It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next hour, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. Now here's our host, Chris Arnton.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at IronSharpensIronRadio.com. This is Chris Arnes and your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 19th day of December 2018. And I am delighted to have a guest for the very first time ever on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Jason Goodwin, who is pastor of the First Baptist Church of Shady Grove in Laurel, Mississippi, and he's one of the speakers on the roster at the upcoming Deep South Founders Conference in Laurel, Mississippi. Today we are going to be addressing the continual and irreconcilable war, the flesh lusting against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Jason Goodwin.
Brother, it is a joy to be with you, and I'm so thankful to be a part of this conversation, as well as the upcoming Deep South Founders Conference in January.
Yes, I am looking forward to, God willing, meeting you and being in Mississippi for the very first time ever in my life. And from what I keep hearing, it is quite a beautiful place. And it's always a joy to visit some place in the United States where I have never been before. And I'm looking
forward. All right. We look forward to having you come and join us down there. It's going to be great.
Great. Well, before I go into your personal testimony of salvation, which is something that I typically do when I'm interviewing a guest for the first time, tell our listeners about First Baptist Church of Shady Grove in Laurel, Mississippi.
First Baptist Church Shady Grove is a small church, but it's a church that's been in this area for well over 100 years. It was founded in 1888, and it's a beautiful church that's ministered to kind of the North Laurel community for quite some time, the Shady Grove community, and it's a member of the Baptist Missionary Association of America, as well as the Baptist Missionary Association of Mississippi and our local Big Creek Association, and it's been a good beacon of the gospel in this area for over 130 years now.
Now, praise God. Tell us something about Deep South Founders Conference. We will be advertising this throughout the show, but tell us about it.
Well, most importantly, I think one of the great attractions to the conference this year is going to be our keynote speaker, who is Pastor Conrad Mbewe.
Yeah, my favorite preacher alive on the planet Earth. I've known Conrad since 1995, and from the first moment I heard him preaching on a cassette tape, I was totally blown away, and I have never stopped singing the praises of this dear brother.
No, I mean, anytime you can get the African virgin to be the main speaker for a conference, I think you're doing pretty well. I had the pleasure of hearing him at one of our local churches here last October that had him come in and do a Reformation Day conference for the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, and he did a fantastic job. It was my first time to ever hear him in person, and it was, of course, just fantastic. And so I definitely look forward to hearing him bring the word and to preach on the doctrine of sanctification for several messages. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I am sure that our brother Conrad, although he is a native of Zambia, Africa, and still pastors there at Kabwata Baptist Church in Lusaka, Zambia, where he is also the chancellor of African Christian University, I am sure that he has seen much, much more of the United States than I ever have.
I think you're exactly right. I know for this trip, he's going to be at the seminary that our church supports is in Jacksonville, Texas, and he's going to be speaking at that seminary around the right before the conference. I think he's speaking at a conference in Atlanta early in January before the Deep South Founders Conference. So
yes, I will be at that. I will be at that conference. That's the G3 conference, and I will be manning an exhibitor's booth there.
So he's when he comes to the States, he packs his schedule full, and it's amazing how he's able to do that, because with the travel and jet lag and everything else, I don't think it ever really slows him down. At least it doesn't seem to.
I met him when he came to preach at the church where I was a member before moving to Long Island. I'm sorry, moving from Long Island to Pennsylvania before I moved here to Pennsylvania. I was a member of Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, and Conrad preached for us in 1995, not long after we became a new church. Calvary Baptist Church of Amityville merged with First Baptist Church of Merrick, New York, forming Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island. And Conrad had never been to the United States before, and he said it was all new to him, the luxuries and the advanced technology and all that. And now, as I said, he has probably experienced more of this country than I have in these years since 1995.
Undoubtedly.
And now, as I said before, I would love for you to give a summary of your salvation testimony. What kind of religious atmosphere, if any, you were raised in, and what kind of providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in your life that drew you to Himself and saved you?
Yeah, I tell you, I have a boring testimony. I had a mom and dad. My dad was the son of a BMA pastor, church planner, missionary growing up, and my mother was raised in a Christian home. By Christian parents who attended church every Lord's Day, every time the doors were open. So when myself and my two sisters were born, that's the same kind of environment we were raised in. We were church attenders Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We were always there. My dad was a deacon in our church growing up in South Arkansas, a little town called Magnolia. We attended First Baptist Church of Magnolia, they showed us the gospel every day. They weren't perfect. They weren't innocent by any means, but they were faithful to the Lord and faithful to His church. And they showed us the gospel. They gave us the gospel. And so when I was around 6 years of age is when I made a profession of faith, and followed the Lord since then. It hasn't been perfect. Struggled in the faith, especially as I got older and the temptations grew, and as the spirit and the war that existed in me between my flesh and how I've been raised, as those things began to conflict, it produced some hard moments. But it was the faith that I was raised in that the Lord providentially used to bring me to Himself, to show me His common grace of just faithfulness in having faithful parents, faithful church friends, and faithful church members that just, it kept me in the faith, and it kept me grounded through my life.
Praise God. Well, I don't think it's boring at all, brother, when when you consider especially the religious climate of the world in the 20th and 21st centuries, that you were from a family that was preserved by God's mercy and grace in the faith, and that you were raised in such a God-fearing home. I think that's a wonderful testimony of the The mercy, grace, and power of our Lord Jesus Christ in a day and age when the majority of what we see around us is so hostile towards Him and His Word. So I often find myself correcting my brothers and sisters in Christ when they seemed reluctant to give their testimony because they were raised in a Christian home.
No, I think you're exactly right. We almost kind of feel ashamed sometimes that we don't have a, you know, a Saul type of testimony or anything like that. But I think you're exactly right. I think it's just as much the providence of God to raise someone up in a Christian home as it is to call someone on the Damascus Road. It's how He works in the lives of unregenerate to bring them to the new birth and to, you know, calling out in repentance and faith.
Amen. Well, today we are discussing a very vital aspect of the Christian life, the continual and irreconcilable war, the flesh lusting against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. Not only is this war clearly spoken of in the inerrant, infallible, God-breathed scriptures, but it is also a topic in our shared confession that we have, you and I, the 1689 London Baptist Confession, which is just a summary of biblical truth that makes no claim to be on the same level or even superior to the scriptures. It even states that in the very pages of the confession. It's merely a helpful guide and summary that unites brothers in Christ of like mind. And this is related to in chapter 13 of the 1689, or sometimes called the Second London Baptist Confession, in the second paragraph. Tell us about the London Baptist Confession of Faith in summary form and why this is the particular subject that you would like to speak on today.
Yeah, I think for all historic Baptists, especially those of us who are mindful of the importance of historic Baptist belief and faith and confession, the 1689 matters a lot because it allows us to point back to our roots as Baptists. And it's kind of funny, I say that as our roots, my tradition that I come out of or still am a part of is more of a kind of a landmark tradition, you know, that wants to trace their roots back to the shores of Galilee. But when we see our first kind of documents as Baptists on what we believe, you know, the 1689 just kind of rings out as a testament of the faithfulness of early Baptist leaders and what they saw from the scriptures and they saw from, benefited from the other traditions around them in putting together, you know, the 1689 and how it's lasted. It just amazes me that here we are, you know, hundreds of years later, still delighting in the same truths that these dear brothers mined for us and brought out as being the hallmarks of what it means to be Baptistic, what it means to be, you know, covenantal, Reformed Baptist, and how these things still benefit our churches and benefit believers today. And this subject of sanctification that we'll be covering at the Deep South Founders Conference is so important. As we've already kind of mentioned in the day in which we live, because it is the work of the Spirit in drawing the children of God closer into relationship with Him through our growth in the faith, our maturity in the faith, realizing that we're not yet perfected, that we still live in this already and not yet, in this fallen world, but yet we are pursuing the holiness of God, we are pursuing what is right, what is given to us in the scriptures, and that this war that we're in is something we have to understand because it's a tough fight. It is a hard fight for any believer, new believer, old believer. We are constantly dealing with our old man and trying to put him to death and trying to put the desires of the flesh away, and it is this war that we stay with, and so that's really what appealed to me when I was presented with the opportunity to speak and given the choice of topics, because I know in my own life how hard this fight has been and how weary I've grown at times in fighting my flesh and fighting my old Adam, and how important it is for us to understand today that what the world needs to see from believers is a willingness to fight against the flesh, to fight against these things that are wrong, and live in the Spirit. And that's what we want to, that's what I hope to convey when I have the opportunity to preach at the conference.
You mentioned the Landmark Baptists, where your roots are. Were you from the branch that were a Sovereign Grace-believing Landmark Baptist? Because I know that they have a divide amongst them. There are some that are lovers of the doctrines of Sovereign Grace, and there are some that despise those doctrines.
I think my branch was somewhere in the middle. we have some that have always loved and enjoyed the doctrines of grace, while others kind of found them a bit stinging. So we're somewhere in the middle. Like I said, our current seminary and president, he's really done a good job of bringing these things to the forefront for our association and kind of reminding our people where we come from. You know, our statement of faith for the Baptist Missionary Association of America is based on the New Hampshire Confession of Faith, which is a Calvinistic Reformed confession. I mean, some people don't like to admit it, but it really is. And we can trace our history through the New Hampshire back to, you know, the Philadelphia in the 1689. So our roots are there. People may not like those roots, but that's where they are.
Yeah, I always love sharing with my Landmark Baptist friends who hate the doctrines of grace. I love reminding them or informing them for the first time that a much beloved book among them, The Trail of Blood, by J.M. Carroll. I love telling them that J.M. Carroll was a thoroughgoing Calvinist.
Yes. Yeah. And that's many of them were. And it may be hard for them to come to grips with sometimes, but yeah, that's the truth.
In fact, I don't know if you're familiar with Jack Green. He used to be the editor of the Landmark Baptist Messenger, and he was a thoroughgoing Calvinist as well. I believe he's on the mission field now. I can't remember where exactly, but he used to be there in Texas, editing, I believe, or managing the Landmark Baptist Messenger. But I've heard sermons by him that were quite powerful and quite saturated with the doctrines of sovereign grace.
Amen. Amen.
Well, this topic really, it leads to a divide, actually, amongst brethren in Christ about the issues involving the new creation that we are in Christ and how that relates to the old man. There are some complicated issues that some of which people have become decidedly on one side or another in mm-hmm. these areas, and there are some that would say that there are things that are going to remain a mystery until we're in glory about this, but tell us about this. If we are a new creation in Christ, why is it that we sin every day? There's probably not, you know, a minute in our lives where there's not some kind of a sin that we are committing mentally or otherwise, but tell us about that. This is a very mysterious issue.
No, it really is because we. I think the clearest evidence for me is that our sin, our daily sin, is it's not tolerable. We readily admit that, but we have to admit that it's evident, and we know that it is because we still fight the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life every minute of every day. And we're constantly giving in to these things in some degree or the next. And so we have to admit that sin is still ever present in us. And as John tells us in his epistle, you know, if we deny that we have sinned, then we make God to be a liar. And so we have to admit that our sin, while it's defeated on the cross through Christ, It's still a struggle for us because we live in the already and not yet. We live in the fallen world, and we're still fallen creatures. And so we're still struggling with the effects of the falls in and around us. And we have to understand this, because if we get so focused on thinking that, that our only enemy is outside of us, that it's not our flesh, that it's not our heart, then we begin to point at everything else as the problem. You know, if my wife were as sanctified as I am, if my children were as sanctified as I am, if my church members were as sanctified as I am, you know, if the news, if the president, if you name it, if everything outside of us is the problem, then what we're really saying, whether we realize it or not, is that, God, if you would just fix all this outside of me, then everything else would be great in my life. And that's not the truth. The truth is that I'm still struggling with my sin. The biggest problem in my marriage, as Paul Tripp likes to say, you know, I am the biggest problem in my marriage, because it's my sin in my marriage. It's my sin, even when I'm trying to parent my children, that caused the biggest problems, because I'm still not perfected. I may be covered in the righteousness of Christ, and none of us question that, especially as Reformed Calvinistic people. We know that we are saved by the righteousness of Christ, that it is His righteousness that covers us, that makes us able to stand in the presence of the Father one day. We know all of these things. But here, right now, on planet Earth, it is still this struggle that I have with sin, and I have to admit that, or I'm not going to fight this battle that I'm called to fight in Scripture the right way.
I'm going to give our email address if anybody would like to join us on the air with a question for our guest today about this very important topic. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us at least your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter, and I could readily see a subject like this, the continual an irreconcilable war, the flesh lusting against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, I could readily see that lending itself to people having personal and private questions that would compel them to remain anonymous. So you may feel free to remain anonymous, but please only remain anonymous if it is about a personal and private matter. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. We do have a listener, Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania, who asks, since we who are believers in sovereign grace do not believe that a truly regenerate, born-again believer can lose his or her salvation, it is problematic sometimes when judging whether oneself or a professing brother or sister is truly born again because they have fallen into a season of serious unrepentant sin. Since the Bible never gives us a timeline where we can say after a certain length of time a person who is still remaining unrepentant can be deemed as a false convert who is never born again to begin with, how do we determine whether we ourselves or those around us are truly born again and brothers in Christ?
I think this is where the local church and meaningful church membership and meaningful church discipline all come into play. I think when you have a church that understands that it is our responsibility as local bodies to receive people on the testament of their faith, we baptize them if they've not been baptized. We baptize them with that confession in mind, and so they show that this is a sign of the covenant, that you're confessing Christ. You're coming and you're joining this body of believers under this confession with the agreement that of all the things that we may covenant together to believe. And if I as a church member, if we as church members begin to see things in the life of that believer that is not consistent with the gospel and not consistent with what they've confessed, this is where the church steps in, elders and other brothers and sisters, and of course, you know, following instructions in Scripture like Matthew 18 and others, this is where they go to that brother or sister and they say, hey, we think you're out of line with what the Scripture calls us to, There seems to be some evidence seen in your life, publicly, or however it may be manifesting itself. And in love and in grace and with the desire for reconciliation, you know, they go to that brother and sister and they work these things out. And hopefully that concern and that love and care for one another brings them back. But if it doesn't, there's always that step of church discipline, as Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians and everywhere else, that has to be willing to say to that brother or sister, you're not aligning with Scripture. And because we love you, we're going to need you to understand you can't be a part of this body. You can't be a part of this family if you're denying what we've covenanted to get together to believe and to practice and to look like as believers. And for their good, you must remove them from time to time. And hopefully, if they're genuinely converted, if they've been born again, being outside of the fellowship of God's people, the Spirit's going to work in their life, and they're going to realize, hey, I've made a big mistake. I need to repent. I need to go back to these people. I need to confess and tell them they're right. And yeah, it may take a little bit of time, but ultimately, if they're genuine converts, they're going to want to be in the church with the people of God, with their brothers and sisters. They're going to want to repent of that sin because that's what the Scripture calls us to. And I think that's the best way through these things that the Lord has given us, the local church, the administering of the word, faithful church membership. That's how we're able to kind of recognize, hey, is this person a genuine believer or is this person outside of the faith?
Yes, and wouldn't you agree that since there are things involved in the human heart that only God knows, we as fallible, sinful human beings ourselves, even the most godly of Christians, cannot read the heart with infallibility, that we are commanded in Scriptures not to make definitive proclamations about that those things that only God knows when it comes to these matters. Aren't we, even if someone, in theory, is truly of the elect and perhaps truly regenerate, but just in a season of sin, we have to treat them as if they are unbelievers. Not that we know that with 100% certainty, but for their benefit and for the benefit of the body of Christ, and for the benefit of the community around us, and for the praise, honor, and glory of God, to remove reproach from the church and as much as possible, we have to identify these folks that are in our midst, put them under discipline, and if they continue in their rebellion unrepentantly, we have to go to the next measure of excommunication. I say this also as one who has experienced church discipline. I, after 18 years of sobriety years ago, fell back into the sin of drunkenness unrepentantly for a number of years, and it was increasing in its severity. And I thank God for the discipline that I underwent by loving under shepherds, whom the Lord used to draw me back to sanity, sobriety, and good standing within the church. And I also thank, amen. I also thank Hebron Colony Ministries, a nonprofit Christian ministry in Boone, North Carolina, which is a drug and alcohol recovery ministry, and they also have a sister ministry for women called Grace Home in Santee, South Carolina. But isn't this the truth? Many Christians find this to be harsh, cruel. How dare you question this person's salvation, because I've known them for years, and just because they're sinning now, I've known that they made believable professions and walked with the Lord for so long. But even if a person has been walking with Christ for decades, he could still be a false convert. And other than that, even if he is a true convert, we still, according to the Scriptures, if this sin is severe enough and unrepented of, they have to be treated like unbelievers. Am I right?
Yeah, I do think that's the final step, definitely. I think there's kind of that in-between step that you're referencing that Paul talks about in 2 Thessalonians 3, when he says, as for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. If anyone does not obey what we say in this letter, take note of that person and have nothing to do with him, that he might be ashamed do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. I think there is that period that you're still warning that person as a brother. But if they continue to show signs of not repenting, of rejecting wise counsel, of rejecting biblical direction on what they are to do, then I think that final step, as Christ says in Matthew 18, hey, you treat them like a tax collector and a sinner. That you can't continue to validate their membership and their faith in Christ if they're not validating what that faith is supposed to look like. Because we don't serve them well if we're not being honest with how they're living. If they've given in to this fight between the flesh and the spirit, and if they're living as Galatians tells us, if they're living instead of by the virtues of the spirit, and they're living by the virtues of the flesh, then we have to assume that they're of the flesh. We have to, for their sake and for their good. Because if we assume the other while they're living in the flesh, we're not loving them. All we're doing is giving them an easy conscience as they continue down the road to hell. And if we truly believe there's a hell, then we have to, for the sake of their good, call them to repentance before it's everlasting too late.
Yes, I might not be alive right now and conducting this radio program if it were not for the fact that I was placed under church discipline. And of course, there are churches, sadly and tragically, that have abused that necessary element of Christian life in the church, and who have been overly harsh, who have been dictatorial, and have even disciplined people for sins that aren't even really sins.
You're right.
But at the same time, I thank God for the discipline I received, because I am alive today and may not be because of the severity of my drinking problem or sin of drunkenness. We're going to be going to a station break right now. If you would like to join us on the air with a question of your own, just like Arnie in Perry County, send us an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, at least your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away, God willing. We're going to be right back with Jason Goodwin, pastor of First Baptist Church of Shady Grove, Laurel, Mississippi, and speaker at the Deep South Founders Conference, on our theme, the continual and irreconcilable war, the flesh lusting against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, right after these messages from our sponsors, so please don't go away.
Hi, Phil Johnson here. I'm executive director of John MacArthur's media ministry, Grace to You. And I'm also an occasional guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So I'm delighted that my friend Chris Arnson and I will be heading down to Atlanta for the G3 conference, where I'll be joining James White, Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, Mark Dever, Conrad Mbewe, Todd Friel, Josh Bice, and a host of other speakers to address the topic, a biblical understanding of missions. Chris Arnson and I hope to see you all at this very important conference. From January 17th through the 19th, make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron exhibitors booth to say hi to Chris. For more details, go to g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. See you there.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, Scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org. hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689. 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
Hi, I'm Stefan Lindblad, Assistant Professor of Systematic Theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture. I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture, and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well grounded in these truths. Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently, his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com.
I'm Dr. Gary Kimbrell, pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. God tells us in James 1:27 that pure and undefiled religion is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. In the providence of God, 3 years ago, I discovered a poor small church outside Lusaka, Zambia, in a township called Kabanana, who are taking care of 24 orphans. I found them just at the time when they had lost all their funding. What was I to do? Could I just say, God bless you, and walk away? The situation of the children sat heavily upon me. As I was praying concerning this need, it came to me, I trust from the Lord. support to tell the orphans' plight to a broader audience. The entire need for their clothing, food, education, and some medical services is $73 per month per child. If just 50 of us would give $35 a month, we could meet the need. Bethlehem Baptist Church will pay the fee to get the funds there. So if you give a dollar will get to the orphans. In this season of hope and giving, will you consider giving hope to 24 orphans? Please send your gift of any amount to Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443. Or donate through our website, bbclaurel.com. Again, the address is Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443, or bbclaurel.com. Thank you.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please do as much of your Christmas shopping as possible, if not all of it, from solid-ground-books.com. Solid-ground-books.com while there's still time. And for any other reason that you purchase the best in Christian books, they experienced, as I've been reminding you every day, a financial setback when their founder, Mike Gaidosh, was undergoing serious open-heart surgery, a very life-threatening surgery that thankfully he is still recovering from successfully. And however, being laid up in the hospital and even during a time of recovery, the ministry did experience a serious financial setback. So help replenish that which was lost financially by doing as much of your shopping as possible at solid-ground-books.com. Solid-ground-books.com. And please always remember that Solid Ground Christian Books is a vital supporter financially of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So the more you help them remain in existence, the more you help us remain in existence. And please make sure you tell Solid Ground Christian Books that you heard about them from Chris Arnes and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We are now back with our discussion with Pastor Jason Goodwin of First Baptist Church of Shady Grove in Laurel, Mississippi, also one of the speakers at the upcoming Deep South Founders Conference in mid to late January. And we are discussing the continual and irreconcilable war, the flesh lusting against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. If you have a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves personal and private matter. We have a question from John in Bangor, Maine, who says, "I know that there is a disagreement amongst Christians that even those who believe in the doctrines of sovereign grace and are Reformed Baptists disagree over. This is the issue of whether in Romans 7, Paul is speaking about himself in the present tense as a born-again believer and an apostle of Christ in regard to his ongoing sin, or is he speaking about his former life as the fire-breathing murderer and zealot Saul of Tarsus before his rebirth?" That's a very good question, and I happen to know that our listener is right, that I've even experienced and have been witness to a debate years ago between two brothers, or at least two brothers, who disagreed over this issue at the Bunyan Conference in Pennsylvania, and I have heard brothers in Christ who disagree have loving but sometimes heated discussions where they disagree over this. In fact, I'm gonna turn to Romans 7 in the New American Standard Bible, the updated edition. And we have, starting at verse 14, we have the Apostle Paul saying, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, so into bondage to sin. For what am I doing? I do not understand, for I am not practicing that would I like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I disagree with the law, confessing that the law is good. So now, no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, for the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good, for I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of the sin which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I find myself on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin." Very powerful yet controversial passage of the God-breathed word through the writing of the Apostle Paul in Romans 7. So if you could, give us your take on that.
No big deal, right? No big deal. Here's how I think Paul's talking about a very present thing. I think the language indicates that. He changes his tone, or not the tone, but he changes the tense from 7 to 13, where he's talking about the past, to verse 14, which seems to be very much in the moment. And I know even, you know, great brothers have disagreed on this, as you said, but it does seem that Paul is trying to get us to understand. And again, it would make sense that he's talking about the struggle between the flesh and the spirit, the struggle of how do we continue to fight this flesh, flesh that we're born in, this flesh that this heart of flesh, this old man, this old Adam, that we have to be reminded that this is a continuous fight, and that although we've been redeemed, we've been saved, we've been regenerate, we've been born again, that we still have this old man, we still have this flesh that is fighting against us, and this is a real and present fight, and this is the heart and crux of what it means to be sanctified. Right, that our sanctification, while it is a work of the Spirit, our sanctification is being worked out in our fighting against this flesh, this old man, this sinful nature that doesn't want to give up the fight. And that's the real and present experience that all of us as believers have. Again, I don't think that any believer, any true believer, would deny that struggle that they continue to have with sin. And so I don't think Paul is any way excusing it. I don't think he's saying it's okay to give in. I think that he's reminding us that even he, the Apostle Paul, fights against this flesh, and that we have to continue to fight against it because we can't allow it to ruin our lives, ruin our faith, or ruin what we believe in our hearts and heads that God has done through Christ for us.
Even though I agree with you, and I pretty much for the entirety of my Christian walk that I can remember have agreed with you that this is a present tense description of the Apostle Paul describing himself, there are words that seem to, at least on the surface, conflict with those of us who are Reformed, who believe in what has now been nicknamed, since the 1980s at least, Lordship Salvation. We believe that repentance is necessary for true salvation. We don't believe that there are carnal Christians who are still in bondage to sin because they have been set free from their bondage through the death of Christ, and yet you have the Apostle Paul saying, I am of flesh sold into bondage to sin. And you have these kinds of phrases that he uses that seem so severe, you wonder, is he using hyperbole because of the experiences that he is feeling? He is so furious at his own heart and mind, because he is an apostle especially, who's been giving the very oracles of God that God breathed through him, which he in his own hand penned, or through a scribe, an amanuensis, I believe they're called. But how do you explain the severity of the language if he is speaking about himself as a new creation and born-again believer?
Yeah, I think to me, the severity of the language is the reality that sin is still, it's a big deal, right? I mean, sin should be mourned over. Sin of any degree should be grieved over. It's only in our flesh that we become so okay with any level of sin. Regardless of how we want to categorize it, I think any sin should cause us to grieve. I think any sin should cause us to want to use language like he does when he says this evil that is present in me, this wickedness that is still here. It's very much the struggle that we have. I think to downplay it, to pass over it, is not to do our sin justice. Our sin that we commit, the sin that we struggle with, our flesh, it took the Son of God on the cross to put away our sin and to appease the wrath of God that was against us for our sin. How could we for one second not see that our sin is a serious issue and that we have to fight against this flesh in the Spirit each and every day as true children of God? I think that's the reason for the language that he uses.
We have Bobby in Hartsdale, New York, who asks, I think that there should be a balance in the Christian life. On the one hand, if the sins we are committing are so severe and egregious and scandalous, we should question our own salvation and fall to our knees in repentance and cry out to God to be saved. On the other hand, there are Christians who are going through a nightmarish existence, constantly questioning whether they are truly of the elect and truly born again, and have a joyless faith. How do we strike the balance in this situation?
Oh, that's such a good question. I'm reminded of Piper when he did his biography of William Cooper, the hymn writer, who very much struggled with, you know, what was called back then melancholy.
He attempted suicide.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. I mean, this is the very real presence of depression, anxiety, the weightiness of sin in this fallen world is always going to be a struggle, and it's a reminder that just as in Ecclesiastes, Solomon talks about the toil of this life, because we live under the fall. Adam in the garden, when God curses Adam, he says, thorns and thistles, right, is what you will reap from now on. We struggle in this life because of everything around us that is affected and damaged and broken by the fall. Every relationship, everything that we see, everything that we know, and even the best of us, so to speak, can still be overwhelmed by all of the brokenness that is around us and the constant toil of seeing thorns and thistles produced when we're working hard, when we're reaping, when we're sowing, when we're doing the things that we're supposed to do. And yet the scripture reminds us not to lose heart. What is required of you, O man? To love your God and to obey his commands. We mustn't think that this world in which we live, no matter what eschatology you hold to or anything else, we mustn't confuse this world for the one that is to come. And in here in this world, in all of its fallenness and all of its brokenness, and with our in-between already and not yet, there are going to be times, seasons, where we have to fight for joy. And it may seem like joy never comes, and yet the scripture says joy comes in the morning, and that we have to continue toiling. And we have to continue fighting for these things, even though they may elude us until we stand before the Father.
Amen. We have to go to our midway break now. It's a longer than normal break because Grace Life Radio, I'm sorry, what am I thinking of? Yes, Grace Life Radio. I got distracted by an email from a listener that came in. Because Grace Life Radio in Lake City, Florida, which airs Iron Sharpens Iron Radio daily, they have to localize this program to the Lake City, Florida area with their own public service announcements and commercials. So therefore, they require of us this midway break where they air their own content. So please be patient with us as we take this longer than normal break and use this time wisely to write down questions for our guest, Jason Goodwin, on this very important topic of the war between the spirit and the flesh. And also, please write down the information provided by our advertisers, because that will enable you to more successfully and more frequently patronize them. And if you do that, we are more likely going to remain on the air, because we rely on the advertising dollars of our sponsors to exist. So please patronize our advertisers as much as you can. And to do so, please write down the information that they provide during this break. And of course, once again, if you have a question for Jason Goodwin on the war between the spirit and the flesh, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. God willing, we'll be right back with Jason Goodwin and our discussion on the war between the spirit and the flesh.
James White here, co-founder of Alpha and Omega Ministries and occasional guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I'm so delighted that my friend Chris Arnzen will be heading down to Atlanta for the next G3 conference from January 17th through the 19th, 2019, where I'll be joining a very impressive lineup of speakers on the theme, A Biblical Understanding of Missions. Speakers include John Piper, Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Mark Dever, Conrad Mabewe, Phil Johnson, Josh Weiss, yours truly, and many more. I hope you all join Chris and me for this phenomenal event. For more details, go to g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable.
Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times, 631-929-3512, or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions, like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Chris Arnes and host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It.
at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for world, N for news, G for group, .org/podcast.
Hello, I'm Dr. Kerry Kimbrell, senior pastor at Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. And I'm hoping that many of you who listen to Chris Aronson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program will join Chris and me at the Deep South Founders Conference Thursday, January 24th through Saturday, January 26th here in Laurel. If you love God's Word and love to hear it powerfully preached, I can assure you that you will not be disappointed. Our speakers at the Deep South Founders Conference this year include Rusty Reed, Gerald Henderson, Jason Goodwin, Bobby Crenshaw, and our keynote speaker all the way from Zambia, Dr. Conrad Mbewe, who has received the nickname the Spurgeon of Africa. And I, for one, believe it's a very accurate description of Brother Conrad. For more details, go to deepsouthfounders.com. That's deepsouthfounders.com. I look forward to giving a big Mississippi welcome to many Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners, January 24th through January 26th. Thank you.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those two decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God. That Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and his church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org. Two S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Aronson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at CVBBS.com. That's CVBBS.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And you can also call CVBBS.com at their toll-free number Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. Eastern Time to 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And please, when you do so, always mention Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, because that's the only way our advertisers are going to know that you heard about the offers that they have from us, and they will continue to advertise, most likely, if you continue to remind them of that fact. Their number is 800-656-0231, 800-656-0231. If you purchase a minimum of $50 worth of merchandise, you will get you'll get free shipping on your order of $50 or more. And also, they want you to be aware that you can purchase gift certificates that are electronic, so they will get to you immediately after your purchase. If you go to CVBBS.com, if you want to get for your loved ones a gift certificate so that they can purchase the finest in Christian literature for Christmas, you don't have to worry about the delivery being too late with these gift certificates. Just order them online at CVBBS.com, and they will be emailed to you immediately. So just keep that in mind for your Christmas shopping needs. We just have a few announcements to make about some upcoming events that we want you to be aware of before we return to our discussion with Jason Goodwin on the war between the spirit and the flesh. First of all, tomorrow on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, my two very dear friends going back to the 1990s, Dr. William Webster and Reverend David T. King, are returning to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio for part two of The Lie of Rome, that Sola Scriptura was invented by the Reformers. Dr. William Webster is the pastor of Grace Bible Church of Battleground, Washington, and the founder of Christian Resources, and he's also the author of The Church of Rome at the Bar of History and Salvation, the Bible, and Roman Catholicism, which are two titles that Banner of Truth publishes. And Reverend David T. King is an ordained minister, having served in the Presbyterian Church in America, otherwise known as the PCA, and the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, otherwise known as the OPC. And he's the co-author with Dr. Webster of the massive, monumental, groundbreaking three-volume work, Holy Scripture, the Ground and Pillar of Our Faith. So make sure you mark your calendar to join us tomorrow for part two of The Lie of Rome, that Sola Scriptura was invented by the Reformers. Then as far as an actual event you can attend, on Thursday, January 3rd, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is having our next free luncheon for men in ministry leadership. This is being sponsored by our friends at BatteryDepot.com, LynbrookBaptist.org, and NASBible.com, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible. It's going to be held at the Carlisle Fire and Rescue Banquet Hall here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And our featured speaker is my friend Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. He's going to be speaking on the theme, The Meaninglessness of Life and the Destruction of Western Society Without God. This is absolutely free of charge. There's nothing for sale at these luncheons. There is no hidden agenda or ulterior motive. This is purely intended to give men in the ministry a time of rest, relaxation, fun, fellowship, and a powerful message from the Word of God that will help further equip them for their ministerial duties. And also, most of the major Christian publishers in the United States and the United Kingdom over the years have donated to us brand new books to give away to each and every man that attends. So you don't want to miss out on this opportunity. If you could get there to Carlisle, or should I say get here to Carlisle, Pennsylvania, by train, plane, or automobile, please RSVP by January 1st. But send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com if you'd like to attend. chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and put luncheon in the subject line, and we will have you registered for the free event. Then Dr. Costa is going to be sticking around this area for the next few days after the luncheon From Friday, January 4th to Sunday, January 6th, Dr. Tony Costa of Toronto Baptist Seminary will be speaking at the Enola First Church of God in Enola, Pennsylvania. And this is an event that I helped arrange with my friend who is the pastor there at the Enola First Church of God, my friend George Jensen. This conference will be on the theme Contending for the Faith, the Church in a Postmodern World. And as I said, that's January 4th through the 6th, Friday through Sunday. It's also free of charge. And unlike my pastor's luncheon, this event is open to everybody, man, woman, or child, Christian or non-Christian. We would love to see you there. In fact, we'd especially love to see you there if you're not a Christian at all. But for more details, go to enolacog.com. Enolacog, that's E-N-O-L-A-C-O-G.com. /Bible-conference. And you could also call the Enola First Church of God for details at 717-732-4253, 717-732-4253. Or you can email me, Chris Arnzen, at chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and put the conference, or Tony Costa conference, in the subject line. Then coming up later on in the month, the G3 conference returns to Atlanta, Georgia, more specifically College Park, Georgia, at the Georgia International Convention Center, where I will be manning an exhibitor's booth, God willing, for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio for the third year in a row. I am so excited about this event from Thursday, January 17th through Saturday, January 19th. There's actually going to be a pre-conference event featuring my friend James White and others on Wednesday, the 16th of January, that involves the social justice warrior movement. So you might want to make sure you attend that. If you have Spanish-speaking friends or bilingual friends that speak Spanish, you might also want to tell them about the exclusively Spanish-speaking edition of the conference on that same day, Wednesday, January 16th. But the English-speaking conference itself, from the 17th through the 19th of January, includes Dr. James R. White, John Piper, Stephen J. Lawson, Vodi Baucom, Mark Dever, Conrad Mbewe, Tim Challies, Phil Johnson. We have Todd Friel of Wretched TV and Wretched Radio, and Stephen J. Nichols, the president of Reformation Bible College, the college founded by the late R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries, and many more are on that roster. Go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com to register. There may be some free seats available because somebody donated a block of seats for those of you who have not yet been to the G3 conference, who perhaps can't afford it. Ask them about that to see if there's any free seats left. Also, if you have a business or a parachurch organization or a church or a special event that you want to promote, because there's going to be between 4,000 and 5,000 people expected there, register for an exhibitor's booth if there is still room, in addition to registering for your attendance. That's g3conference.com. G3conference.com, and remember the G3 stands for Gospel, Grace, and Glory. And then the conference that we have been discussing with our guest today, Jason Goodwin, the Deep South Founders Conference, is coming up from January 24th through the 26th at the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi, on the theme of sanctification. And the conference includes such speakers as our guest, Jason Goodwin, Rusty Reed, Gerald Henderson, Bobby Crenshaw, and the keynote speaker, Dr. Conrad Mbewe, whom I believe is the most powerful preacher alive on the planet Earth. For more details on registering, go to deepsouthfounders.com, deepsouthfounders.com. Last but not least, if you want Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to remain on the air, we have some crucial bills that need to be paid that are still unpaid. We need your help more than ever. We are entering into another scary time financially, so please help us out with as much financial support as you can muster by going to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card that way. And you could also mail in a check to the address that appears on the screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com if you prefer snail mail. Keep in mind, I never want anybody siphoning money away from the regular giving that they're accustomed to their local church, where you are a member, in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God to provide for your church and family. Providing for my radio show is obviously not a command of God, but if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, please give as heavily as you can and as frequently as you can. If you love the show, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, and click to donate now. And you could advertise us with us as well if whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe. You don't have to believe identically with what I believe, but you need to be promoting something that's compatible with what I believe. If you are without a church home and you're not prayerfully looking for one, you're living in rebellion against God, please send me an email if you need help finding a church home wherever you live, anywhere in the world. I have lists of faithful churches all over the globe. I can help you find a church. I've helped many in the Iron Sharpens Iron radio audience find churches near them. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put, "I need a church home" in the subject line or something like that. You could also use that address, as I said before, to send in a question to our guest, Jason Goodwin, about the war between the spirit and the flesh. chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Otherwise, please give us your first name, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the good old USA. We do have an anonymous listener from overseas who has a question for you, Pastor Jason. And I'm just enlarging the font on the email so that I can read it. Okay, Anonymous asks, "Hi, Chris, thank you for your show. Sometimes I cringe at the phrase church discipline, as I and many others have been spiritually abused by Christian leaders in their zeal to purge the church or group of those who disagree with them, not on major theological issues, but just their own interpretation of Scripture. I have seen and experienced horrendous damage done by power-driven men who were not trained in the ministry, but were self-appointed. Many of the people I know back then have turned their backs on the Lord as they were young Christians and looked up to these leaders. They are damaged and abused Christians. I believe that if a leader does not deal with his own issues, there is a great possibility that he will eventually damage one of his flock, if not many. Thanks be to God, through their expulsion of me, I have come to know the doctrines of sovereign grace and see God's sovereign rule over my life. I am truly blessed." Anonymous from overseas. So, do you have an answer for that abuse that does go on under the name of church discipline?
Yeah, I think, again, it's evidence of all of our abilities to misapply the scriptures, or to even go even beyond that, to be abusive in our application of scriptures. I think this is why we need churches that have faithful elders and accountability to their elders. I think anytime you have a church structure where the congregation is removed from decision making and being able to rightly hold its leaders accountable, while leaders also work to hold the church accountable, that there has to be a mutual trust and a mutual understanding between the two. That while I'm a firm congregationalist, so even though I believe that the scripture is clear that the church should be led by a plurality of elders, number one, Christ is the head of the church. Number two, the church has authority in all these matters, because we see Christ in Matthew 18, ultimately, where are those who are being disciplined? Where are they to take the discipline? Not to the elders, but to the church. And so it is the church that practices this. And if merely an elder or an elder board is disciplining members according to their whims, and it's not the church that is taking a part in this, that's where I think abuse happens more times than not. When you have a congregation that is still voting, still checking and providing kind of a checks and balances to the elders, I think that happens less. And I think that's what that kind of helps pastors stay accountable to the word and to the church and to one another when there's that mutual respect and mutual accountability.
Yes, and I'm sure you would agree that the Christian life is not easy, And just because we have been sinned against, even in horrible ways, that does not give us liberty to abandon the church. The Apostle Paul was persecuting the church when he was Saul of Tarsus. And when Christ appeared to him on the road to Damascus, he said, "Saul, why dost thou persecute me?" And yet the Lord had already been crucified and risen and ascended into heaven. Paul was persecuting the church, and yet Christ equated his church with himself in this instance. So we cannot take lightly opposing or abandoning or being at war with the church, even if there are false churches. In fact, when we encounter a false church or false leaders, it just once again proves the reliability and truthfulness of the Bible, because the Bible contains instances of false teachers and false churches and so on. So, as I have said to people who have given up on the church, some of them have been members of cults, or some of them have been members of churches that were even confessionally faithful, but acted like cults in the way that they had authoritarian rule and harsh discipline beyond what the Bible permits. I have told them that they cannot reject Jesus because of Judas. I mean, if Judas was one of the 12 apostles, and he is the one that turned over Christ to his executors and betrayed him, why would we think that could be impossible in the 21st century for men who claim to be pastors to be wolves in sheep's clothing?
No, and I think you're exactly right. And that's where, you know, the Christian faith is not, it's not a Lone Ranger faith. Right, I mean, it's not a faith that is to be lived out individually. It's a faith that calls us into fellowship with other believers, with other brothers and sisters. And you cannot neglect that need for accountability, because in fighting this war between the flesh and the spirit, you need the help of a local church. You need the help of brothers and sisters. You need the help of faithful pastors and other people who are going to hold you accountable, and who are going to preach the word to you, just the common means of grace through preaching and singing and prayer and the observance of the ordinances when we gather together on the Lord's Day. These are all things that the Scripture, that the Bible, that God Himself has instituted to be that which aids us in this fight against the flesh. And when you forsake that, the gathering of the saints, either because somebody has been abusive, either in sort of manner, you are forsaking the means in which God has given to His children to prepare them for what they will encounter in the world, and that's why churches need to be places where they are healthy and faithful, because it's where God has instituted for His sheep to be taken care of.
Well, thank you, Anonymous. Keep listening to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and keep submitting excellent questions like that to our guests. Thank you very much for sharing that personal matter with us. And once again, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com if you have a question that you'd like Pastor Jason Goodwin to address on the war between the spirit and the flesh. Let's see here. We have Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania. And Susan Margaret says that very often Christians use the term, "we need to forgive ourselves," when they are plagued and tormented, perhaps, by past sins and so on. I do not believe this is a biblical concept of forgiving yourself, but there is some truth connected with it, in that if we are repentant believers following Christ and have lives marked with obedience, albeit imperfect, we should be trusting in Christ's forgiveness of us, and that He has paid the penalty for our sins on Calvary. What way would you correct well-meaning brothers and sisters in Christ who use this term of forgiving themselves?
I think you go back to the Apostle Paul. Forgetting what is behind, I press forward. That's kind of our call as Christians. You know, sufficient for the day is its own trouble, is what Christ says, you know, in the Sermon on the Mount. Whatever mentality allows you to understand, if you're in Christ, your sin is under the blood. I don't live in the past. I live going forward. The race that I run is a forward running race. We're not running in reverse. We're going forward always. Then I have to focus on that. That the prize is forward. And so, whatever is in my past or whatever sin I've committed, if I've truly confessed it, truly repented of it, turned away from it, going after Christ, I leave it there. Yeah, Satan may try to bring it back to me. He may try to use it to remind me of why I'm not qualified to be a pastor, why I'm ill-fit as a husband, why I do a poor job as a father, or whatever the case may be. But if I truly believe that it is under the blood and that Christ has put it away and is putting it all under his feet, then I've got to go forward with firm confidence that that's the truth, because that's the gospel. And that's how we have to live as believers today.
Amen. Thank you, Susan Margaret. Can you continue to spread the word about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio there in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, and beyond? We are going to our final break right now. It's going to be much more brief than the last one. Now is the time to send us a question before we run out of time. So please, if you want to ask a question, send in an email immediately, because the time will be over for you to do so before you know it. It's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA, and only remain anonymous if the question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We're going to be right back with Pastor Jason Goodwin and the war between the spirit and flesh right after these messages.
Got to tell you, for my money, Chris Arnzen's radio program is just the best.
Iron. Criticizing Iron.
I think that's what it's called. This is Todd Friel of Wretched Radio and TV with Phil Johnson of Grace to You, inviting everybody to come to the G3 conference, which has almost instantly become one of the best conferences in the country.
And it is. It's a great conference. I love it. And Chris Arnzen was there last year. He's been there, I think, every year. It's great to see him there. You and I actually did some recordings in the lobby at that place, which
so
is a highlight
for
me.
Tons of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Tons of great speakers. And no matter where you are in the building, you will hear Chris Arnzen's laugh. And that's worth the price of admission alone. If you would like to join Phil, me, Chris, and a cavalcade of great preachers, so it should be a cavalcade of great preachers, and me, G3Conference.com, G3Conference.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy, used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God?
or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at Providence Baptist Church, ma.org, that's Providence Baptist Church, ma.org, or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
I'm Dr. Gary Kimbrell, pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. God tells us in James 1:27 that pure and undefiled religion is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. In the providence of God, 3 years ago, I discovered a poor small church outside Lusaka, Zambia, in a township called Kabanana, who are taking care of 24 orphans. I found them just at the time when they had lost all their funding. What was I to do? Could I just say, God bless you, and walk away? The situation of the children sat heavily upon me. As I was praying concerning this need, it came to me, I trust from the Lord, to tell the orphans' plight to a broader audience. The entire need for their clothing, food, education, and some medical services is $73 per month per child. If just 50 of us would give $35 a month, we could meet the need. Bethlehem Baptist Church will pay the fee to get the funds there. So if you give a dollar will get to the orphans. In this season of hope and giving, will you consider giving hope to 24 orphans? Please send your gift of any amount to Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39444. Or donate through our website, bbclaurel.com. Again, the address is Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443, or bbclaurel.com. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Stefan Lindblad, Assistant Professor of Systematic Theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture. I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture, and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well grounded in these truths. Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
Listening to Christian radio can be a big gamble spiritually. Even many of the major Christian networks that include excellent, biblically faithful teachers on their lineup sadly often also include the worst of doctrinally dangerous heretics. If you are a lover of the doctrines of sovereign grace, you need not fear listening 24 hours a day to firstloveradio.org. They feature Christ-centered programming from Reformed pastors and teachers you can rely upon for theological soundness and biblical faithfulness, such as Dr. W.R. Downing, Dr. Peter Masters, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Robert Gifford, Al Martin, Edward Del Cor, and more. FirstLoveRadio.org also live streams my Iron Sharpens Iron radio program daily. Please stick around on FirstLoveRadio.org after Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is over to continue being blessed by the unwavering proclamation of the gospel of sovereign grace. Spread the word about FirstLoveRadio.org. Welcome back. This is our final segment of our interview today with Pastor Jason Goodwin, pastor of First Baptist Church of Shady Grove in Laurel, Mississippi, and speaker at the upcoming Deep South Founders Conference. We have been discussing and will continue to discuss the continual and irreconcilable war, the flesh lusting against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please do so quickly because we're rapidly running out of time. We have a question from Jane in Huntingburg, Indiana. That's Huntingburg, Indiana. Jane asks, let's see, I've got to enlarge Jane's email because the font is very tiny. Let's see here. Jane, and by the way, while I'm doing this, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com if you have a question, so please send it in quickly if you have one. What is the best answer to Nazarenes on this? I have friends who are adamant that they get through days on end without sinning, since they are sanctified. And also, Jane said that she hasn't received a book or a Bible in the mail that she won, and I'm sorry about that, because I do have you on our winner's list, and I don't know where the mix-up occurred, Jane, but I'll make sure that we look into that and at least send you out another New American Standard Bible. I don't understand what happened with the last shipment, and I will check with you later about making sure that the mailing address that we have is correct. But if you could respond to Jane's question about the Nazarene denomination, which is a Wesleyan denomination, Wesleyan Arminian denomination, and some of them, I guess, believe in John Wesley's belief that a person, a Christian, could live a sinless life. I don't think he ever claimed he achieved that, to my knowledge, but he believed in theory that it was possible. If you could respond to that kind of thinking.
Yeah, no, I probably want to shake that person's hand, at least to have some further conversations, because that's a pretty lofty accusation. I think number one, what is it has to, let's go back to the catechism. You know, what is sin? Do they have a right understanding of what sin is? Or are they making more of a pharisaical view of sin? Is it just, you know, for them some sort of outward violation of the law? Do they not really understand inwardly how we sin in thought, word, and deed every single day? And how our lives are overrun with the consequences of sin in so many other areas. So that's how I would first push back on it, is what do you think sin is? And then secondly, I would say, if you have a right understanding of sin, then do you see areas of your life where you commit sin? And if you're going to continue to tell me that no, I don't sin every day, then again, I'm going to have to go to 1 John and say, hey, he who says he has no sin is a liar. So we need to work this out as well.
Yeah, don't you think a lot of times Christians have a far too unbiblical concept and understanding of what sin is to begin with? They may think of the scandalous sins only. They may think of either sexual lust or actual participation physically in fornication and adultery and pornography. They may think of theft, and they may think of murder, and they may think of slander and all kinds of things that are more overtly scandalous and sinful, and even in the minds of many non-Christians. And yet, in fact, I don't know if you ever read an excellent book by Jerry Bridges, the late Jerry Bridges, but he had a book called Respectable Sins, and he was saying that tongue-in-cheek, obviously. He was basically warning Christians about continuing in sins that have become to be embraced as very very much approved ways of thinking or behavior, even amongst Christians, and people might be unconscious to the fact that they are actually violating the will and law of God. People might, for instance, be racist, and they don't even really think of their sin as anything consequential. Of course, the sin of pride can manifest itself in many ways. There are so many ways in which we sin every day that to our neighbors might not be viewed as anything that great, but in the eyes of God, it would send us to hell if it were not for his blood covering us.
No, that's exactly right. We tend to forget that it's our hearts that have to be transformed. That everything that we do, everything we say, everything we think is in direct relationship to the wickedness of our hearts. And this is why we need to be born again. We don't just need behavioral modification. We don't just need our minds to be changed from one degree to the next in regards to the veracity of the resurrection of Christ or anything like that. That what Christ demands of us, as he said to Nicodemus in John 3, is you must be born again. That our hearts must be transformed from dead hearts to living hearts, hearts of stones to hearts of flesh. And because our heart is the problem, that is why sin is always an issue. Because even though we can be born again, and even though we can be given hearts of flesh, that inside of us, that old man, that old Adam, still wars against us. And we cannot for one second neglect that reality, because it does lead to this perfectionism, this hyper view of sanctification and everything else, or even justification, that if I've been declared righteous, then I am completely righteous. But no, we're covered in the righteousness of Christ, and I'm still working this out, as Paul would say, working out my salvation with fear and trembling under the blood of Christ.
Well, thank you, Jane, and please keep your eye open for an email from me. I'm going to be sending you the mailing address that we have in file, so you can confirm whether or not it's accurate. And I once again apologize for any mishap that may be our fault over here, and we'll make sure eventually that you get the book that you want and the Bible that you want. So sorry for the inconvenience, and so sorry for not living up to our promise to you. Please continue nonetheless to listen to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and submit your excellent questions. Let's see here. We have Christopher in Suffolk County, Long Island, New York, who says, I constantly hear from many of my Christian friends and even members of the congregation where I attend that sin is sin is sin, and we should not be overly judgmental against someone who sins. And, for instance, if a pastor commits adultery, we should be expecting him to be restored to that position after he repents, because after all, we are all sinners, and therefore an adulterer who repents should be considered no different than anybody else who sins, and all of us sin. Yeah, I've heard that too, and I think sometimes people are overreacting to the Roman Catholic understanding of venial sins and what is the other word that they use? I can't remember right now, and I was raised Roman Catholic. But venial sins and mortal sins, and people sometimes run too far the other way. Now, it's true, I'm sure you agree, that all sin without the blood of Christ condemns us to hell. So all sin is equal in that sense. But I think that the listener is correct that foolishly Christians speak in unbiblical ways. And in fact, if you were to press them on it, they probably really don't even believe what they're saying. You're not going to treat someone in your congregation who is a glutton at a picnic in the same way as if that person had molested a child, raped somebody, or murdered somebody. I mean, these things are not to be treated the same way. They weren't even treated the same way in the Old Covenant in regarding to the penalties that people received. So, if you could.
No, I think you're exactly right. And to get to the heart of penalties, that while we don't suffer penalties for our sin, that's what Christ does for us. So all the penalty for sin is covered in Christ. If that person has repented of that sin, there still is consequences. And when he gave the example of a pastor who commits adultery, I think the consequence to that sin is you have violated your calling as a pastor, and you violated what the standards for an elder in the Lord's church is, and the consequence to that is that you've disqualified yourself. Now we could have different discussions about does that disqualify a man forever or whatever else, but I think it does have to bear some consequence. And it's not because we're trying to punish people, it's not because we're trying to add to them what only Christ can do, but it has to be, we have to understand that sin is a serious thing, and that there are consequences for different types of sin, and that some of those sins demand immediate discipline, either by a local church or in the biblical form, or they demand immediate repentance by the person who's done them to someone or to a group of people, and that consequences for sin cannot be ignored just to throw grace over everything, because that doesn't serve the sinner, nor does it serve the people that he potentially has sinned against in his actions.
Excellent. We have CJ in Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York. And CJ says, sometimes I believe that we who are reformed and do conduct church discipline may go overboard in refusing a person who has sinned, even if it's been a scandalous sin, ever to be used in a ministry fashion of any kind, even if many years have passed since that sin was committed and the person has proven themselves to be truly repentant with a restored life and a track record of repentance and obedience. Do you think that there can be heavy-handed treatment of Christians who have committed even egregious sins in the past and have proven themselves to be obedient and repentant?
Yeah, I think we see that a lot today, not only in the church, but definitely outside the church. We live in a shame culture. There's been a couple articles written about this lately by secular writers about the shame culture online and shame cultures other places. We live in a very much a shame culture. And it's easy for us to pick up rocks and to throw at people, especially believers. And if someone has genuinely repented and really gone away from sin, even Paul in 2 Corinthians, remember he told the church there, hey, listen, this person who you disciplined, they've repented enough. Relent. You welcome them back into your congregation. There is a way in which we as churches and as people and even as society, we want our pound of flesh. But that's not what we're called to. That's not the purpose of church discipline. Church discipline is not to get a pound of flesh from somebody because you think they've wronged you or they think that they deceived you in some way. It is for the purpose of reconciliation, and it is for the purpose of making sure that that brother that once, or sister that once attested to a true conversion and true belief in Christ, is brought back to that.
Amen. And let's see here. We have... I was just looking at it, and now it's gone. I had another question from a listener. Oh, RJ in White Plains, New York. Sometimes I have been disappointed by brothers and sisters in Christ who agree with me theologically on the doctrines of grace and seemingly have excellent theology and understanding of doctrine otherwise, who have totally written off and discounted the salvation testimonies of those that have committed the worst of crimes and sins, such as serial killers who convert in prison and others who have been monsters but who have later repented even behind bars and have proven themselves to be changed human beings. Cannot we write off people who are truly born again and our brothers and sisters just because of the horrendousness and the level of wickedness that they were involved in before their rebirth?
Yeah, that monsters, it reminds me of Paris Reedhead, 10 shekels and a shirt, monsters of iniquity. That is who we all are. And again, yeah, there are some sins that may keep someone in prison for the rest of their lives, but the Bible is replete with examples of people who committed grievous sins and the Lord was still gracious in granting repentance and faith. And so we just have to be careful. It is not the church's job to decide who gets to repent and believe. It is the church's responsibility to verify that repentance and faith has taken place and that true belief in Christ, as best as we can gauge it through the testimony of faith and through the way that a person walks. That's what we're to do. And we have to trust the Spirit and trust the work of Christ in those things.
Amen. In fact, I am working on an interview. I don't know if I'm going to be successful getting this interview from a warden of a prison, but I am trying to get an interview with Ron Luff, who is spending a life sentence in prison. He wrote a book called Faith Gone Astray, Unveiling the Kirtland Cult Murders. He was involved in a murder of a family when he was a member of a cult, and he had become a born-again believer in prison, and in fact got, I believe, his doctorate in theology while behind bars. So keep your eye open for updates on whether or not I can get that approved through the warden of the prison that he's staying at. But anyway, please give us 30 seconds of a summary of what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today.
Yeah, I want us to understand just the importance of this spiritual fight that each and every one of us has each and every day, and that our call as believers is to take up our cross every day and follow Christ, and that means that we're going to engage our flesh, we're going to engage our heart, our mind, our words in a battle with Satan, And we have to be prepared. We have to be covered in the armor of the Lord, and we have to be faithful fighters every day. We run the race with patience, and we give ourselves to doing this work by the Spirit. This is grace led. This is not our works. This is not just white knuckling these things. It is grace filled, Spirit led, fighting the flesh each and every day, and that's what we're called to do.
Amen. And if you want more information about First Baptist Church of Shady Grove in Laurel, Mississippi, go to Facebook for that. I believe that's the only website you have, correct, Pastor Jason?
Yeah, Yeah, we have Facebook. I do a podcast with some friends called The Preaching Lab. We talk about church and stuff like that. So if you're a podcast, you can find out more about the church from The Preaching Lab podcast on iTunes. But as far as websites go, just the Facebook page for the church.
And don't forget about the Deep South Founders Conference, where Jason will be preaching along with others. Coming up January 24th through the 26th, go to deepsouthfounders.com. I want to thank everybody who listened today. I want to thank you, Pastor Jason, for being an excellent guest. I want to thank those who especially wrote in questions today. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.